I loved every minute of this episode. It was so fun and actiony, and every beat was engaging to me.
We didn't waste time. We got everything we needed. It's exactly what it needed to be to help set up this finale. Hell yeah. Can't wait for next week, because you know there's no other BS now. The pieces are set up, and now it's, let's call it war.
Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah.
That's where we are now.
Welcome, everyone, to Krypton to Alderaan. I'm Joey, your Star Wars lover, and with me is Royish Goodlooks, your Star Wars song guy.
Hello, podcast. Hello, Joey.
I love keeping the intros dynamic, if you haven't noticed.
That was very Star Trek-y, very William Shatner Star Trek.
Ship's log. I don't know. Yeah. I don't watch Star Trek. Anyway, this is not a Star Trek impersonation podcast. We are the podcast that analyzes all nerdy pop culture, but it is mostly Star Wars. And this episode, we will be discussing The Bad Batch Season 3, Episode 13, Into the Breach. Not beach, Royce. It's not a beach episode. It's not a fun beach episode. It's breach, okay? Don't get excited. Actually, do get excited, because I gotta tell you, I freaking love this episode. Anyway, but first, I'm just going to start with a rigorous call to action campaign here. We're going to come in hot. We put out a call to all of you, several calls over the past several months. And because of everyone's wonderful support, we have like grown incredibly. We have so many more subscribers. We're up to 547. What was it when we checked before we started, Royce?
549, five something. Yeah. We're up 10% from our last milestone.
Yeah. We absolutely love that people are continuing to click that button. So the next step, next milestone, help us get to 1,000 subscribers. Hear me out. This is the subscriber level on YouTube where we can put ads on our videos and finally start to like really monetize the channel, which would be really amazing in helping us continue to make this content. I hate to say it, we've only got 2 episodes of The Bad Batch left, but we want to continue the momentum. We want to keep it going. Reaching that next milestone and getting actually monetized on YouTube would be a huge, huge help with all of that. So let's all get there together. We would appreciate everyone's support. Share the show, tell a friend, like, comment, subscribe if you haven't already. Help us get there. It would be amazing. Thank you all, everyone, so much for the support so far. And anything to add?
And let's jump into the show. Let's jump into the breach.
Last episode, the Juggernaut, not the Juggernaut, lose the, I think just Juggernaut. Last episode, Juggernaut. I think at the beginning of our podcast episode, I had said, man, I really hope that the next 3 episodes, the last 3 episodes of the series are not like this one. Boy, do I not feel that way about this episode. There were elements of this episode that we have talked about before, changing the format, doing the AB plot thing, which we've done the past few episodes, right? It's kind of been a format change that we've maneuvered into, I think, over the past few episodes. But we've talked about how that could sometimes be jarring. But with this episode in particular, I didn't even notice it at all. It felt so like natural to keep transitioning the way they did in the moments they did back to the other plot line. And specifically, Royce, I think in the past, you have not necessarily appreciated the change in format in the middle or towards the end of a thing.
I am the keeper of the format.
Yeah. So how did you feel? Like for the past few episodes, I'd say we had like an A-B plot. But with this one, what do you think? What do you think about that?
Yeah. I mean, even like the very beginning of this season, we had only one plot. We were only with Omega on Tantus, or only with the Bad Batch, wherever they were off in the galaxy. And they changed the format. It's fine. It's fine. I really liked this week's episode, though, that we had an A and a B plot. And just like you said, they flowed in and out of each other so seamlessly. Like, you know, we love our Lost here on the Krypton Alderaan podcast. If they're going to go into the flashback, it's like whatever happened on the island, Star wipes perfectly into the flashback. And I think they did that well in this episode, that we ended on like good little one-liners, and I'm going to break all of you out. And then we snap back to the Bad Batch and whatever they're doing. Super seamless transitions between the A and the B plot. And I also love that we got like a trilogy of both. This is how like keeper of the format I was this week. I was like, I'm going to count immediately. We're on Tantus. All right, now we're the Bad Batch. We're back to Tantus. And we go back and forth to both of those plots three times. So a really even balance between that. I don't know if there's any poetry with the rest of Star Wars and trilogies there, but that's how they did it. Yeah, no, it worked. It works for me.
I love that. Star Wars loves a trilogy. It makes so much sense that they would do it that way. But with Juggernaut, we this is kind of like the part two of Juggernaut, I think, where Omega is on Tantus and we are with the Bad Batch trying to find out where Tantus is. With the last episode, I was like, I kind of like don't want it to be like this the next three episodes. I want it to ramp up. I want it to like feel like we're going into the season or the series finale. With this episode in particular, and we're going to get into like details on the episode, but just my quick overview analysis, I never once thought about, okay, this is the third to last episode. Let's like do something. Or like, I'm really happy with what they're doing because it's the third to last episode. It never even crossed my mind. I never thought about the length. I was fully and completely immersed in this episode the entire time. I loved every minute of this episode. It was so engaging and fun and actiony. And I just like, this is kind of like, the pressure was completely removed for nearing the end of the show itself. Yeah, I was just fully engrossed. Every beat was engaging to me.
Yeah, you know, we've made the metaphor of like the chessboard, setting up the chessboard for the season finale, the series finale. And you know, we were maybe a little worried if they were going to go on another adventure of the week to gather more resources or more information. I feel like a younger version of the podcast would have made fun of the Rampart, like, oh, you go to the Imperial station and you get the coordinates. And, you know, it was a little bit of the MacGuffin there, which, by the way, we did not give that space station any love the first time it popped up. It was in my notes a few episodes ago when we first saw it, and we didn't talk about it. But isn't that, it looks so cool, right? That station?
That's not the same one that they go to get.
That's where Emery was with
Fennec.
I think Emery met Cad Bane there.
Oh.
I could be wrong. Yell at us in the comments. So I thought the space station looked great. Was glad to revisit that. Also reminds me of the Ninth Jedi space station thing from Visions. I don't know. I mean, space stations, I guess, kind of all have a sort of similar format.
Floating in space above a planet. Yes, yes.
Classic space station. Geosynchronous orbit. What was the point of this rant? Yeah, I liked seeing, aside from Rampart kind of just giving the expository dialogue, they break into the station. They're trying to find the coordinates. Oh, we can't get the coordinates. We need to sneak on the shuttle. Now we're on the way to Tantus. I know we just jumped to the end of the episode at the beginning of the pod, but
that's what we usually do. That's our MO here.
Roll credits. That's what we had to do, though, for this episode. So we didn't, you know, waste time. We got to see how the Bad Batch is going to make their way back to Tantus. Hopefully next episode, they show up there. We can be off to the races. If you were looking for the big boss battle, we're going. We're getting there, right? And we didn't ignore Omega. That's kind of what we said last week of with the book ending, where we had Omega at the beginning and Omega at the end, classic Bad Batch adventure in the middle. With this episode, we bounced back and forth. So we weren't like, we got everything we needed from it. It's exactly what it needed to be to help set up this finale. And I also love the parallels of like the Bad Batch trying to get to Tantus and Omega being like, nope, I'm breaking out of Tantus. It's great like that. And I love her confidence and her stealing a tool to break out. Super poetry moment to the actual show, Prison Break, where he has an Allen key that unscrews his toilet. And that's what Omega is doing. And I love that. She's trying to break out. Bad Batch is now going to break in. And for our final episodes, it's all going to come to fruition.
It's so funny because at the beginning of the season, Omega and Crosshair escape and they meet up with Hunter and Wrecker. Hunter's like, you know, essentially there's a conversation there of like, we were trying to find you this whole time and you ended up finding us, right? Like she is extremely capable. And that's the reason Crosshair treats her like the leader. And now in this situation, she is the leader. You said we got exactly what we needed. We got so much more than what I needed or what I felt I needed from this episode. Like I said, I was completely engrossed the entire time. I loved this episode so much. And we got so much of Omega. One thing I really loved about this episode was like, we are on this mission to find the coordinates to Tantus. They've got Rampart. Rampart is providing the comedy relief here. Like, oh, wonderful. We're all going to die. Or you cannot be serious. I can wear that. It's a captain's uniform. And Echo's like, well, you've been demoted. That's such a good like, ha, you got him line. Like there were comedy beats there and Rampart was like the comedy relief. With the kids, no comedy whatsoever, like no levity, no nothing. And but it's like super brightly lit. There's like definitely production things going on here where the Bad Batch are in the dark, but they are like making these efforts and it's a very serious mission and there's comedy. The kids are in the light and it's all very like somber and sad. And it's, they don't like it when we talk to each other this much. The troopers come when you cause problems. And then like Eva tells Omega that Jax tried to escape and it didn't go well. You and I had talked about like, oh, she's going to go. Omega's going to get in there. She's going to see Eva. They're going to bond over the Lula doll. Omega doesn't even tell her that that's her doll. She just, I think she like knows that she has to be the leader and she cannot be like, oh, I also play with dolls. You know, like she believes that she has to be the adult. She is the soldier. We talk so much about like the point of this show early on is moving past what it means to be a soldier. Well, here it is, the end of the show. And the person, the clone that wasn't a soldier has to become the soldier in order to save these kids and to save her brothers. This show has subverted my expectations so much. Thanks, Ryan. Subverted my expectations so much because at the beginning, well, all throughout the Clone Wars and at the beginning of the Bad Batch, what I wanted for the clones was to find a space beyond being what they were created for, being soldiers. The Bad Batch, the point of the Bad Batch, Hunter even says it in this season to the clone cadets, you have to figure out how to not be a soldier. But here's the one clone that was not a soldier, I guess besides like Emery and the other science clones. But she was raised by the soldiers and now she has to become the soldier.
Yeah, she's playing it so cool. I mean, she's kind of more like young Leia in that aspect, you know, where she's keeping it together in a world that you would totally understand if she wasn't keeping it together. But she's a great leader there. She's not showing any kind of weakness. Super confident, super cool. Like, can you imagine being one of the other children there and someone's like, I've broken out before and I'm going to do it again and you're coming with me. Be cooler. You cannot be cooler than that. It's like, I love that. Hopefully that inspires a little hope in the children there, because every time I see Eva, it's kind of heartbreaking. They've got just like a tone to their voice that's very endearing, but it's also very sad. It's got this kind of like depressing acceptance of the scenario that they're in, you know? Yeah, it's a game. They want us to play the game. And you're like, oh man, it's like, not like they're playing it for fun, you know? It's like, it's just what you do. And I also feel like the horns, I don't know if that's just part of that alien biology, but like, is that like an orca whale in captivity that like the horns are kind of droopy? Like that plays into the character design for me, that like, you just seem a little depressed, but there's obviously been hope in that character talking to Emery, like, oh, am I going to get to see Jax? Like, they've been happy in the past. And I'm hoping that Omega can spice some of that up with everybody. And even Jax being like, I tried to break out. You can't break out. There's no way out. Ah, yeah, yeah, heartbreaking.
Yeah. There was very much that moment because Omega even says something like, it's our only way out, or I'm going to find a way. It was
she
very much
it.
That. Yeah,
she
yeah.
says, we'll find our way out. So again, yeah. The poetry stuff there with Andor is like, I love it. So good. And yeah. One last point here about the like juxtaposition of the kids in the Bad Batch. They stripped all the color off of the Bad Batch uniforms and they're all like, they're just like black, right? Hunter's kind of bummed about that, but they have to blend in, even though they're like, oh, we're not really going to blend in. And then when you go back to Tantus, we've got a red kid, a blue kid, and a green kid, and even a white kid, right? Like the fuzzy one. So that's also really interesting that there's this like RGB color scheme throughout that. And I don't know if there's any, I mean, that has to be an intentional design as well. I don't know what the exact symbolism is there, but that's very interesting with the three Bad Batch members in their all black uniforms, and then the like three primary colors and the culmination of that as well in that youngest child. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I don't know what species Jax is, but I'm pretty sure the blue girl is Pantoran, and the Pantorans have those facial markings that are specific. If she's not Pantoran, I'm sorry.
Actually?
Yeah, give me some actuallys in the comment. The thing that is different with what happens with the Batch in this episode, that again, this goes way back to the Clone Wars, in that like the clones at some point started identifying their own personal identities and then representing that on their uniforms, on their armor. And it comes up so much in the Clone Wars, you know, one of the clones, it might even be Wolf, but Wolf's in that group. One of the clones to Plo Koon says, we're clones, we're expendable. He says, not to me. Like Yoda gives a line about how they're individuals. So it's a point in the Clone Wars to show that these clones are individuals. And this is undoing, for me, when I saw that scene, this has undone all of that. We're essentially scrubbing their armor, removing their identity, effectively, like, if I didn't think that they weren't going to make it out of the end already, I would now. We've already started erasing them. That's how I felt watching that scene. It was devastating, especially when Hunter looks at it. But just the fact that they're doing that is, to me, coming full circle. This is like the closing of the loop here, where clones started with no identity. They developed an identity. Clone Force 99 had the most identity, pretty much, because they were quote unquote defective clones. And now we're erasing that. We're back to square one, essentially like erasing who they are. And that is so devastating, because we've built up so much time to creating this for the clones. And it's so sad that it's getting undone. That was one of the most devastating things in the episode, and maybe this season for me, I think.
I mean, we don't know what he's thinking there. He could be bummed that he's like, man, I spent a lot of time painting that. What a waste.
Yeah.
Or you know, maybe there's something more there. If he's thinking like, you know what? I can just give this up. I don't have to be this uniform. I was given this uniform to be a soldier, and I took it back by customizing it and painting it, right? But, you know, maybe I could just give up the whole thing. Why would I want to put this on? Like, this isn't me to begin with, coat of paint or not. And Omega, you know, she doesn't have that same sort of, you know, provided uniform. She had that, like, the necklace or whatever, you know, the little, I don't even know what that is, the crystal thing, right? What the deal with that is. But Omega's just kind of free as a bird to figure out who she is, you know? She just needs to be a child, like whatever Obi-Wan says about Luke at the end of the Obi-Wan series, right? Just needs to be a boy. Like, maybe it's not going to be the Bad Batch erased. Maybe that's the beginning of the Into the Beach ending, Return to the Beach, that you're hoping for.
Return of the Beach. Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's a much better way of looking at it than I did when I saw that. I was just like, oh, this spells disaster. Yeah. Either way, very, very sad to see. And I was kind of like, why didn't you just steal Stormtrooper armor?
Right.
Like,
right.
I know we did that a lot in Rebels. We kind of like use that trope a lot in Rebels, but like, ooh, I'm really bummed that you all had to erase. But then also Echo is just like able to walk around with a droid hand, right? Like a port, whatever it's called. And no one notices. But they had to like erase the markings on their armor.
They were also really goofy when they came back out of the command center. And at first they were all standing up straight at attention. And then they kind of like goofed around like, oh, now we got to sneak.
Yeah.
It was a little odd when they chose to be prim and proper and when they chose to be, we're sneaking around the station. But comic relief kind of either way.
Yeah, very comic relief. Anything with Rampart, really, except for the very end, which I would love to talk about. But anything with Rampart, there's even when they go into the command center, the door is closing and Crosshair pushes Rampart and Rampart like throws his arms up in the air. It's just a little background animation, but it's so good. It's so funny. Like a real juxtaposition of those moments, even within that one plot in this episode. Devastating, they're erasing their armor, but Rampart's got some kind of jokey, joke-em-up thing to say, right? Like, even I make a captain's uniform look good. He doesn't say that, but he might as well have.
I didn't make Admiral without you just looking this good.
Looks alone, yeah.
On looks alone, yeah.
So you're right. Like, Omega's personality, we have seen it continue to grow. She's become more independent, and now she's like, we've seen her outfits change. We've seen her hair change. We've seen her, like, accessories change. She has been the most dynamic character. The look of her changed throughout the series. And now it's the final leg and she is like bare bones and being the soldier. She finally fits in where she's supposed to fit in the whole thing. She's like, I've had training. I'm going to get us out of here. Think about where we met her. Is that like quirky little weirdo that says hi to them in the hallway behind Nala Se and then like pulls up a chair to have lunch with them. And she's like, I like you. You don't fit in here either. She didn't feel like she fit in on Kamino and she found her family. And now she's like really found out who she is and who she is going to save these kids. So it's a very beautiful moment. We've certainly seen them all grow, but there's no erasing who Omega has become. The Bad Batch and the clones put who they were on their armor and that can be erased. You cannot erase what Omega has become. And maybe that's what you're saying about Hunter too. He now understands that it's not about being a soldier. It's not about the armor. And they can give that armor up. Their ship was destroyed. Their home was destroyed, right? Like that's part of their identity. if the end of this comes, they can throw their armor down the Death Star beam and hopefully somehow it won't return. And they can just go, and you're right, like, return to the beach. They can be done with it. They're going to have to erase the coordinates of Pabu, and we can just move on. I love that ending. That will be my headcanon ending when this eventually ends badly. Let's put it that way.
I'm all about this, dude. It's what we wanted from Din and Grogu, you know? Like, there's more than Beskar steel that makes the Mandalorian, you know? More than the Phase 2 armor or whatever that makes the clone trooper, right? Or the clone, period, right? I'm into that, and I think Omega, we're leading into the series finale. I know we said it last week. We're going to say it again next week, probably. In the week after that, when we're talking about Tales of the Empire and we're recovering from whatever
I'll
trauma.
Still be crying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Omega has learned all the lessons that the batch collectively needed to learn, you know, that she has become something more than what she was on Kaminos, like so much more. And she's going to use that to better the rest of the galaxy. Like, she immediately is like, I'm going to break out all the other kids, right? And then she's going to find the clones, and I'm going to break out all the other clones. And, oh, check it out. There's my brothers right there. And then, I don't know, with this final episode, the cavalry arrives or whatever. But then, oh, no, there's Wolf and there's Rex and Cody or whoever else shows up. I don't know who shows up. But hopefully we can get a culmination of all of that, that we said, where's Rex's rebellion? Is this going to be a different show? Are we going to get that in a comic book? Is it going to be in the Bad Batch finale? I'd love to see Omega's story tie in with that grander clone story. Maybe we'll get some of that, regardless of who else shows up on Tantus for the season finale, that maybe we'll still get some of that with some like random clones that are there. Maybe she meets another group of clones that all have their own kind of, you know, idiosyncratic identities. And she sees that in them and she's like, you can help do this, you can help do that, you know, and tie in some of the grander theme of the entire series for the quote unquote series finale so that we can all be satisfied with the conclusion.
And be the leader. And she will be the leader. So I almost don't want Rex to come in. I almost don't want, like, quote unquote, Rex's rebellion to come in. I want this to be about Omega. I want this to be about the ending of this story or her story or this part of her story and her succeeding in this mission, breaking out the kids, breaking out the clones, launching a front on Tantus. I really, really, really want that to be Omega. I think we probably will get, like, quote unquote, the cavalry arrive more so than just the Bad Batch. But I would really just love to see Omega take control of this again. Like we said, she, in the first couple of episodes, it was like, we were trying to get in, but you got out, right? She is competent. She's the leader and she wants to save her brothers. And this is the way to do that. And, you know, you just made me realize that their armor not being their identity, Clone Force 99, named after Clone 99, who was a truly defective clone, never had any armor. And he was still a hero. He, like, sacrificed himself to save his brothers. But he was, like, janitorial staff on Kamino because he was defective and never gave him armor or anything like that. It works because Jango Fett died, and so the DNA was degraded over time. They never had a pure sample of his DNA, so the cloning process got complicated. Anyway, yeah, 99, he is the reason why they called themselves Clone Force 99, and he never had armor, and he was still a hero, and he still had identity, and he was still his own clone. I would also love that tie into it if they all survive this, like we were saying, we don't need the armor to make us who we are kind of thing.
Where does that story come in? Is that the last season of Clone Wars, or is that before? Because aren't the first four episodes of Clone Wars about the Bad Batch?
In the final season,
yeah,
we get the Bad Batch. This happened way before then.
Clone 99 is earlier in the series. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. The end of this episode, I don't know the last time I was sitting on the edge of my seat watching TV, but both times I watched this episode, I was just fully in it. When they're leaving, when the Bad Batch is leaving the space station to attach to the science, I think it's probably the most serious the show has been. Rampart didn't even get any jokes in. But from, like, the moment Rampart lifts up his, like, seatbelt, the episode crossed the line from very good to masterpiece level story, intensity, excitement for me. When he walks up and he said, the proximity sensors are going to go off and they will shoot us down, abort mission. I don't know if there's even music in the scene or anything, but Hunter just says, negative. and goes for it, even though the proximity sensors are still in place, right? They know the ship is getting ready to jump. But that whole, the seriousness, the stakes there, like my palms were sweating before the ship went into hyperspace. I did not think they were going to make it. And at the last minute, they attach, and that's where the episode ends. Not only is it such a good lean into the next episode, like it set up the next episode so well, but it was also, it just kept me on the edge of my seat. It was so exciting. It was so good. It's like, again, so, so, so serious in that last moment. I mean, not to go back to this, but it's an animated show, right? Like it's just enters my brain where like, damn, this is good for a cartoon. I absolutely loved that last scene. I was on the edge of my seat.
Yeah. And a lot of other good parallels of the theme of needing to trust each other, which has been a huge theme in this season. Crosshair says to Rampart, relax, Echo is on it. And I love that because Crosshair was saying to Rampart, you know, like, you got to trust us. Like, we got to trust you. Yeah, Echo's on it. And, oh, we just got to give him a little bit more time. He'll come through. This was the classic Return of the Jedi with Lando and Han. We got to get him more time. He'll have that shield down. There was a lot of other of those poetry moments with the stolen shuttle with Return of the Jedi in this episode that we'll right. have to leave off for this one. Somebody else will break down those moments, I'm sure. But they were ramping up that last scene. I think you're right in the moment where he says, negative. There's no music there. That's just a nice little one-liner. But then we watched this scene right before we jumped on air to record. The music does start to ramp up there. There's all sorts of amazing arrangement in the background. There's a ton of great ship sound effects. They're really like ramping up just like the volume in the episode, which I think is definitely subconsciously getting us like you're getting amped up with the batch and you're hoping it's not going to be like Ahsoka at the very end, you know, for the Empire.
Right.
And they get away and you're stuck there, right? That's what I was worried about, just like you're saying. That would have been really interesting if Echo was the only one that made it into Tantus. But I think we'd need more than two episodes left to wrap that up.
Yeah, for sure.
But that would have been another really interesting angle if you're in the writer's room. Like, do they make it on the ship? Do they not? And what are the implications of that? But they timed it perfectly, you know, that the sensors turn off, the ship magnetically seals or whatever, and then it blasts off into hyperspace and we fade out on the episode and you're like, hell yeah, can't wait for next week because you know there's no other BS now. The pieces are set up and now it's, let's call it war, right?
That's
where we are now.
Yep. So that's a good segue into speculating wildly about what happens next. Choo-choo, we're pulling into Speculation Station because we only have two episodes left. What happens? Do we open right up on them getting to Tantus? Are we seeing Omega take the next step in their escape with the kids? Like, what happens next? I think there's a pretty good chance that the ship arrives and Tantus is the first to realize that the cargo shuttle is attached to the science vessel and that they will shoot both ships down into the monster infested forest of, you know, that planet. And then the batch will have to find their way. And then we will be able to continue spending time with Omega's plan instead of getting right to them kind of storming the base.
How many times are we going to have to steal a new ship in this season? That's become like a trope. Like, oh, we don't have a ship, but we'll find one.
Yeah. But also they've kind of spent a lot of time setting up the cloned monsters that we haven't really like hasn't gotten paid off all that well. So I'm wondering if we're going to see a little bit more of that in the jungle when they get shot down.
You know, it's a possibility. Like I said, in the writer's room, I think that's there. And you had mentioned before we started recording, like, hey, what about that other mountain? Like, do they go to the wrong mountain?
Oh, yeah.
Like, who that? I don't know if we have enough time for these goofy, like, oopsie ending.
That's such a funnier way than uh-oh ending. You either get the uh-oh ending or you get the oopsie ending.
I think it'll be very similar to when we brought Omega in, that they're gonna land and they're gonna have to immediately sneak off. But you're right, somehow they got to get rid of the ship, because how is the ship gonna sit down on a landing pad with it underneath? They have to detach somehow. So I'm really interested on how they figure that out, but I want the plots to converge, just like you're saying how this last episode ended. Let's ramp it up, let's keep the crescendo going. I want Omega already in the middle of her escape, whether or not like Hemlock or Emery or anybody else is clued into it. Like, maybe they're trying to chase her, and then you get the incursion by the others, and
yeah,
those two events the at the same time. Oh, yes, yes. Right? Right? Just like on Rogue One, you know, where they're blowing up all the different pads and they're like, what's going on here? That's what I want, that there's like all these little fires that need to be put out and it catches the Imperials off guard and they think that no one's ever going to outsmart them, but you got outsmarted by the defective clones and the guy that you put in jail so you could keep your secrets, you know, and all of it will come crumbling down and it's not going to break our heart and everyone will live happily ever after.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You heard it here first. So do you think Rampart's going to have his, it's me, I'm the spy moment when they get there? Do you think he's double crossing them or what?
It's interesting that Hunter said that in this episode, or somebody said, you know, before you double cross us, you know, they mentioned that. So again, maybe that's a possibility if Rampart wants to get back in with the Imperials. But he did say, like, they put you in prison, we broke you out. So if you think about double crossing us, that was an interesting foreshadowing that we don't know how that could play out. Rampart might use that as a bargaining chip, but maybe not. I want him to be in with the Batch. I want everybody to fight the Empire. Come on. So I'm in, and he's just so funny. He kind of won me over.
I don't know if I'd call it a redemption. It's certainly not a redemption, but man, I was very reluctant to have him grow on me, but he kind of did a little bit. I did like the shenanigans that he brought to the table. And even just the, oh, I hate clones line. But we'll see. I don't know. I'm not completely sold that he wouldn't sell them out to regain favor, or just might be anti-Empire because they like, I don't know if we talked about this last episode, but they set him up to take the fall for destroying Kamino, right? Like the Empire, Palpatine, set him up to take the fall for that. So I don't know if there's any way for him going back, but anyway, we'll see. I think that's a very funny little, like, that could be a funny little poetry moment there.
Rampart is an ace up the sleeve. Somebody's probably going to go out in a blaze of glory. It might as well be the Imperial guy that blew up a really incredible civilization that probably had a lot to offer mankind. And then maybe that could be his redemption.
Yeah. I mean, it would be cool to see at least either A, justice, or B, redemption, I suppose, in that sense, because he did, like, following orders, destroy Kamino, which is very sad. But yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting. I do really love the idea of both things happening simultaneously. Like, they have to get there. Omega has to start to break out and the clone prisoners have to get out. So maybe there will even be three things going on where the Bad Batch is storming the place and Echo is going to release the prisoners while Omega is escaping with the kids. But I do love the idea, like you were saying, of like chaos ensuing and Hemlock running to the lab because the wall is broken, but then the alarms start going off. So he like is like, somebody take care of that. And the commandos go the other way, right? And then maybe the kids use their force powers. I mean, we got to see the force get used, right?
I want to see. I do.
Star Wars, Jedi, lightsabers. That's what Star Wars is. Just kidding. We're changing what Star Wars is. But we got to see the force. Come on.
I think there could be a moment where they're scared and Omega's got to continue to be the leader and, you know, stick with me like we were saying last week. I think there could be a moment of like, don't be afraid. And then that's right before they make the big break. All right, listeners, we've only got two episodes left. So let's keep this conversation going. What are your predictions? What are your left field theories? Happy ending? Heartbreak ending? Who's making it out alive?
Uh-oh ending. Oopsie ending.
Uh-oh,
which
oopsie
one?
Leave your comments and theories if you're here on YouTube. Hit us up wherever you like the social media. And make sure to subscribe and tune in next time for more nerdy pop culture, but mostly Star Wars. Thank you for listening to the show today. I've been Royce.
I've been Jax.
And we've been Krypton 2. All
whatever
Alderaan.
Planet Mount Tantus is even on.
Krypton to Alderaan. Krypton to Alderaan.
Don't know. I don't think we know. Do we know? I'm actually me in the comments if we know.
Tantus isn't the planet. It's just the mountain.